Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
An investigation is underway after an Amtrak train struck and killed three people who were on the tracks in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. According to a spokesperson for Amtrak, on Thursday, April 3rd, around 6:10 p.m. in Bristol, an Amtrak train, which is traveling from Boston to Richmond, Virginia, came in contact with three individuals who were on the track. SEPTA officials had shared on social media that service was, quote, suspended until further notice due to an Amtrak strike resulting in a fatality near Bristol Station.
I got to tell you, I've never lived near a train track. I didn't grow up near train tracks. When I drive through neighborhoods that have a little crossing, you know, I never really think twice about them. Why do people continue to walk in, near, or around train tracks? And even if you do, how do you come even that close to being hit by a train?
They're loud.
Yeah.
They're pretty loud.
And you can hear them coming and see them coming. Like, they're blowing their horns. You can see them. I have no idea how people are constantly doing this unless they want to.
Yes, unless it's either a suicide or a scumbag down below in the subway that pushes you out in front of a SEPTA.
I'm not saying that's what happened here, but it is. When I hear these stories, I'm always like, you really didn't see this coming?
I could be five doubles deep and still
out of the way.
Yes.
This was a family, right?
Oh.
I don't know. I don't know if it said. It just said it was three individuals. I don't know if it was a photo shoot. I don't know if that's still hot, but I can see all these like sepia photos on the train tracks. Maybe if you're an up-and-coming music star or something like that. I know people like to take pictures on train tracks.
Is that a thing? I did not know.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Learn something new every day.
Like these pensive photos where they're being like artistic and creative on the train. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if it's still a thing, but it was a few years ago.
Yeah. It's three family members that were struck and killed. So that widens the, makes you go, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, Saquon Barkley. Are you familiar with this person?
I've heard of him, yes. Rumor has it he's pretty decent.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah.
He shouts out Ivanka Trump, Kushner Brothers, after having, quote, an amazing time at Summit. Saquon Barkley already got to hang with members of the Trump family before meeting President Donald Trump later this month. Barkley is the star running back of the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, who took home their second Lombardi trophy in February. The Birds were invited to the White House shortly after their 40-22 victory over the Kansas City Chiefs, and they will visit April 28th. Before that, Barkley attended the J.P. Morgan Tech 100 Summit, which Trump's daughter Ivanka attended with her husband Jared, their son Theodore, and Jared's brother Joshua. He said on social media he had an amazing time at the J.P. Morgan Tech 100 Summit. Want to shout out to Madhu for having me. Also want to give a shout out to everyone who made it amazing. And then he has pictures with all the people he met, including some of the Trump family.
40% of Eagle fans today that vote Democrat are pissed off right now. Trade him. I never knew Saquon Barkley was MAGA. It doesn't mean he's a Trump voter. He took a picture.
I'm guessing, guys, that he'll be just fine going to the White House on April 28th.
Yeah.
And you think they're going to have McDonald's this time? I remember that was like such a big controversy. I can't even remember what team it was, he had provided McDonald's.
It was a college team.
Yes.
Was it? It wasn't the NFL?
It was either Alabama or Georgia.
It was either
Alabama. Okay, my bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he ran for 2,000 yards. I think he'll be just fine.
Yeah. If he eats a cheeseburger, you're saying?
Yeah.
The National Transportation Safety Board released its final report Thursday on the deadly I-95 collapse in Philadelphia's, is it Tacony section?
Yes.
Yeah, wow.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I'm getting there. The 24-page report cites multiple factors for a fiery truck crash, which resulted in the highway collapsing back on June 11th, 2023. Officials say the driver, Nathan Moody, was going above the speed limit of 25 miles per hour and was potentially fatigued as he exited the ramp on I-95. Quote, the driver's failure to slow the vehicle as he exited the interstate onto the exit ramp well above the posted advisory speed limit due to inattention on the roadway potentially associated with fatigue.
God.
Investigators.
It's hard to believe that's almost 2 years ago.
I know.
Feels like that story we just covered was yesterday.
Yeah, this is the story about this truck that blew up.
I can't remember
It closed 95 for, you know. And then we had to rebuild it, and Shapiro, in a shining moment, rebuilt it in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And when I say he rebuilt it, he likes to tell people he rebuilt it.
But sure,
it was the great workers here in Philadelphia that rebuilt it.
Right.
Absolutely.
And then Fetterman's like, 95. Yeah. That was right after the Fetterman stroke.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
That was 2 years ago? That's crazy.
Yeah. If you get a chance to find the video on social media, I think one of our great listeners, Mark Fusetti, actually filmed it. He was, I think, on 95 when that happened. And it just looks like a fireball explosion like you would see in a movie.
Yeah.
In like a highway chase. Yeah.
How many people died?
I don't know that
or
there
did
was.
Did any?
Just the driver of the truck.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's all for now, folks.
All right. Anna Hummel with the news. 855-839-1210. We want to go big take here?
Yes.
All right. Let's get to a Friday big take.
The big take on Kale and Company.
Which is brought to you by Natural Lawn of America. Resistance as opposed to resolutions. You know, following the Butler, Pennsylvania tragedy on July 13th, Donald Trump stood back up and he said, fight, fight, fight. The Democrats' motto has clearly become resist, resist, resist. No policy, no fixing the problem, no resolutions, just pushback. Kick and scream to everything Trump says or does, regardless of the fact that Donald Trump's platform and agenda is part Ronald Reagan from the 80s and part Democrat from the 90s and early to mid-2000s. If Trump says today is Friday, Democrats will object. If Trump could cure cancer, Democrats would resist treatment. Democrats like to create a problem and then run on resolving it, but rarely do. Perfect example, open the border, let an influx of illegals invade swing states, deny the border is broken for 3.5 years, and then say, we have an immigration problem, but Republicans, we need you to sign and come along with this bill during a campaign year, and then they vow to fix it. Nancy Pelosi, she advocated for tariffs in 1996. Bernie Sanders, he campaigned on tariffs in 2008. You'll see and hear both of these clips coming up later this hour. Surprise, surprise. Now, both of them say it's a terrible idea since Donald Trump is utilizing them. Even when the Democrats aren't opposing Trump, they eventually circle back and start opposing each other. The old phrase, woke will eventually eat woke. It's true. We will tell you about that momentarily. But before we get to the past, let's start with the present. As the resistance proves that the insanity will continue. Earlier this week, Politico, in their Playbook magazine, wrote one of the most amazingly laughable and pathetic stories I think they've ever published. To summarize, they argued that Donald Trump's DOJ, headed up by Attorney General Pam Bondi, would lose Gen Z voters as the Trump administration seeks the death penalty against alleged healthcare CEO killer Luigi Mangione. Gen Z voters were more conservative at such an early age than ever before. It was one of the most staggering data points after the election, especially with young men. Young men skewing conservative earlier than ever before. But when we talk about Mangione, we're talking about premeditated, cold-blooded assassination at point-blank range with a political motive to boot. Yeah, I don't think young conservative males are going anywhere based on the fact that Pam Bondi is pursuing the death penalty for a scumbag. But then Politico decides to double down. Democrat Congressman Jake Auchincloss of Massachusetts attended the Politico Healthcare Summit, and he says that the American people will not stand for tech bros and podcasters doubting the science and questioning the experts. Listen and watch this.
The arrogance of these bros that have descended on Washington, D.C. I mean, these professional podcasters stand in front of a bunch of career scientists and say, what has science ever done? Oh, I don't know. Science eradicated measles until 2 months ago. Science means that a kid who grows up with cystic fibrosis now has a real chance at life. Science means that women who give birth now don't face a 1 in 5 chance of dying. They can now build families through IVF. Science is core to who we are as Americans, and their excuse for destroying our scientific enterprise with their conspiracy and quackery is because they're the first ones who ever thought that chronic disease was a problem. Michelle Obama 15 years ago was talking about this. Blue cities like New York City and Philadelphia were doing this, and Republicans were saying, don't touch our French fries. But this guy, all of a sudden, he's the first one to ever realize that chronic disease is a problem. We will not take a lecture from people who are based in conspiracy and quackery and who are claiming the moral high ground on corruption when Brad Smith, who is running Health and Human Services for DOGE, is hiring and firing his own regulators. Main Street Health reports to CMS, and he's deciding who gets to be there or not. This corruption and chaos will not stand. The American people will not stand for it. And Democrats are going to draw the contrast.
Yeah, I got news for you, buddy. Legacy media, big pharma, and the left, they gutted Americans' trust in many institutions after the debacle that was the COVID-19 pandemic. Somebody should check out opensecrets.org and find out how much money Jakey Boys made from big pharma. Wait a second. I did that last night. The results, a cool $183,000 in 2023 and 2024 alone. Jake, is it about trusting the experts, or is it about taking money from PACs and lobbyists? You tell me, big guy. The only checks I cash come from Odyssey. The American people have largely resisted things such as the COVID booster shots, and America is resisting Democrats. Sure, there was a Wisconsin election this week that didn't go well for Republicans, but Democrats right now, 21% approval rating in Congress and a 26% approval rating nationwide for the party. But from the present to the past we go, with resistance still the theme. Huge revelations coming down as reports indicate that Barack Obama resisted Kamala Harris. Headline, Kamala Harris was very annoyed with Obama as she sought his endorsement in a new book, as they reveal. A new book written by Jonathan Allen and Amy Parnes, the two politicos of the Beltway, detail how the Harris campaign had to fight tooth and nail to secure a late endorsement from 44. And you know what this tells me about Obama? Even he knew that Kamala Harris was a DEI hire, and that DEI is nothing more than BS. Barack, you should have endorsed Kamala right away, man. She's a minority and a female. She's the perfect DEI choice that you lecture us about all the time, that the Democrats shove down our throat. Wait, what's that? She's incompetent? You mean she doesn't have the merit to win your approval? Ah, the hell you say. Nancy didn't want Kamala either. Actually, nobody did. We played you some of Tara Palmieri's interview with these two writers a few days ago on the Cut Sheet. Here's more on the resistance within the Democrat Party to their own. Listen and watch.
I mean, Pelosi made the decision to step down for another generation, right? Just a year earlier. Did she feel like that she could make that argument to Biden? Did she try to?
I think she thought that she could make the argument to Biden, but I think she made it to him, like, why would you want to subject yourself to Donald Trump? Not you're going to lose to Donald Trump. I think they were all sort of, you know, thinking that they were losing this race and that they had to do something drastic to change the trajectory of it. But, you know, of course, she watches the debate. She's unhappy. And she thinks that, you know, she doesn't want Democrats to rush into anything in that moment because she thinks, oh, gosh, if they rush him out, then Kamala Harris is going to be in. And she doesn't think that Kamala Harris can win. So it's sort of she's in a pickle in that moment.
So she really wanted a mini primary.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And she talked to people about that. And she, you know, Barack Obama also wanted the mini primary. We report on all these sort of behind the scenes conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple of phone calls between Pelosi and Obama, basically all the principles and how they're talking to each other about all this. And I think what it boils down to is she knew that Joe Biden, and I think her thinking evolved a little bit on this over time, but her thinking was Biden had to get out and that Harris was a disaster. And what she was trying to do was get Biden to get out in time that the Democrats could choose someone other than Harris.
So if you're tracking at home, Obama didn't want Kamala. Pelosi didn't want Kamala. Schumer didn't want Kamala. Joe Biden didn't want to be kicked to the curb for Kamala. You know, Jill wanted to stay in the White House. And America didn't want Kamala. Here's more of Jonathan Allen on MSNBC yesterday talking about how Obama wanted no parts of Kamala Harris. Listen and watch.
President Obama absolutely did not think that Joe Biden should continue, according to our sources close to President Obama. And he also didn't want Kamala Harris to be the replacement for Biden. He didn't think that she was the best choice for Democrats. And he worked really behind the scenes for a long time to try to have a mini primary or an open convention or mini primary leading to an open convention. Did not have faith in her ability to win the election. He was really working against her.
The other notable takeaway here should be this. Obama has lost his aura of invincibility. He's lost his swag and his cachet. You know, everybody talks about him descending down from the Democrat heavens. He's the voice of the party. He didn't get what he wanted. It's crystal clear at this point, though, that the Democrats are squarely focused on one thing: resist. Resist at all costs. Resist whether it's Trump or whether it's perhaps Josh Shapiro 2 years from now. Whether it means bad-mouthing Chuck Schumer, who went along with Trump to avoid a shutdown. Adhere to the vocal minority of the party and resist, 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 which is fine, as Trump has proposed resolutions and the results are rolling out. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by Natural Lawn of America. From organic fertilizer to safer weed and insect controls, Natural Lawn makes sure that your lawn thrives naturally season after season. Choose Natural Lawn and get free seeding every year. Call 800-FREE-SEED now. 855-839-1210. That's the number. That's how you jump in. You can reach us on social media at 1210WPHT. And, of course, let your comments be seen and heard in the YouTube chat. Just go to youtube.com/@1210WPHT and make sure you hit the like and subscribe buttons while you're there chatting and watching the show. We'll come back, get everybody's thoughts on that, as well as the fallout, good and bad, with tariffs. How's the stock market doing after one day? And what automotive companies are maybe getting ready to expand shop in America? We'll get into that when we come back. It's Kale and Company. Anna Hummel in for Dawn. Sean Farish an hour from now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
First day of the fallout as to Trump's implementation of Liberation Day. Stock market. I saw a lot of people that are on the other side of the aisle tweeting about the 8 or 9 or 10 biggest stock market declines in a day have all occurred under Donald Trump, and obviously yesterday being one of them. But the other 8 or 9 were all around like the first week or two of COVID, when the whole world went upside down. So I can't really pin those on Trump. This one you can pin on Trump, but again, we're talking about short-term pain for long-term gain. Now, I want to give you just a couple of interesting points here, and then we're going to hear the hypocrisy of Democrats from 17 and 27 years ago, respectively, because everything Trump does now is nothing more than what Reagan did in the 80s and what some Democrats did 25 and 30 years ago. So Ford is apparently going to be rolling out some discounts, which looks essentially like the friends and family employee discount, where you might be able to save a major amount of money on a Ford if you buy American. Ford's From America for America deal will be running through June 3rd, where they're going to offer customers the same discount given to employees. Meanwhile, Volvo, Mercedes-Benz, according to reports, are eyeing the ability to up production here in the United States. And then Trump yesterday, and I thought this was a really good way to put this. Again, he hasn't tried to dance around the issue, right? Like, he has told you straight up to your face, it's got the possibility to suck for a little bit. And he said, it's like an operation. It's like when a patient gets operated on, and it's a big thing. I said this would be exactly the way it is, he added, claiming that $6 or $7 trillion would be coming into the United States. He goes on to say, the markets are going to boom, the country is going to boom, and the rest of the world wants to see if there's any way that they can cut and make a deal. I love that analogy there. Because I don't know if you've ever had a surgery. I had a stretch where I had about 3 in a 4-year window. And it would be like me coming out of sedation, and after the anesthesia wears off and the doctor comes in and he asks me how I'm doing, and I say, Doc, this sucks. I'm in a lot of pain. What the hell? And the doctor says, I told you it's going to take you 6 weeks to recover from surgery, right? You shouldn't be surprised. So are you surprised with the reaction after day one of all these tariffs?
Oh, no.
Okay.
The reaction of the people being upset?
Yes.
Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, they'd be upset even if it benefited them day one. I mean, I know people like this, which is just wild. I have some friends in Sarasota, actually, and they were lamenting about all these new policies. And one of them had like a really candid moment with me. He's like, listen, we're high earners. A lot of these new policies that Trump has implemented have actually benefited us, but we just feel bad about it. I'm like, what?
They feel That's guilty crazy. About being in a good position that they've
yeah,
earned the
yeah,
money.
Yeah,
they
they're
have.
Physicians, and they just feel this immense amount of, I don't know, higher SES guilt or white guilt, because, you know, one of them is white, one of them isn't, but they just have this unbelievable amount of guilt. Uh-huh. And I experienced the same thing when I went to Portland to visit my family, just this unfounded amount of white guilt. And I truly understood, probably for the first time, really what it meant to be a bleeding heart liberal. They just feel bad about stuff that they didn't do all the time.
Okay.
And I was just like, why?
Yeah, I've never had that feeling.
Yeah, it is really bizarre. So kind of like you were just talking about resist.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it goes well or it doesn't go well. If Trump says it is going to be this way, they're going to resist against it.
Now, here's the thing. I'm assuming most of us, if not all of us on this show or listening, have some sort of a 401k. And I know everybody likes to go nuts, and this is on both sides. When the stock market is booming, Democrat, Republican, if it's your guy or your gal, yeah, yeah, yeah. If it's in the crapper, oh my God, you blame the president, you blame this person, no matter what side you fall on partisan politics. But what I try to do, I try not to look at my 401k. I don't know, is there anybody on this show, Anna, Greg, Phil, do you guys monitor that thing on a daily or weekly basis? Because if you do, I feel like you're going to drive yourself insane.
You shouldn't. That's right. The whole point.
And
of
I'm no financial advisor. I'm not giving people advice, but I don't look at it.
No, that's a lot. That's the point of a lot of those stocks is you put them there, and you know, if you're fortunate enough to have an economic advisor, they do it for you,
right?
And you know, move it around as needed. So no.
Okay,
you're not supposed
it's like
to
weighing yourself every day.
Yeah, exactly,
you're not supposed
exactly.
to do that because it's right. going to
yes.
fluctuate.
It is.
So maybe just do it once a week or maybe once a month or like me, never.
Right.
So
it's also a good opportunity. It's also a good opportunity to take. You know, if you want to move some stuff around and maybe find a little diamond in the rough that
sure.
might make you a little bit more money. You
right.
know what I mean? So,
right. Or you could just take the Phillies on the money line tonight.
That's true. And it's not like people don't live and breathe by the stock market. You know what I mean? Like I think Anna was just saying, like it's for Wall Street people, but it's not like the price of groceries and all of that stuff is what affects people in their day-to-day
lives. No question. Volvo said it was looking to make more cars and more production of another vehicle model to hit its South Carolina factory. That actually occurred in 2018. They said, quote, we will have to increase the number of cars we build in the U.S. and surely move another model to that factory. Volvo saying we will have to, quote, look closely at what other model it can add to U.S. production lines. And then Mercedes-Benz, if you're in the market for a Benz, I would suggest Piazza Auto Group. They signaled it's weighing whether to shift some manufacturing over to the United States to avoid additional costs from the tariffs. Quote, we're still assessing the impacts of these tariffs, said Jörg Berzer, the automaker's production chief, on a company call in Germany yesterday, saying we have made some plans, but flexibility is absolutely key. For what it's worth, shares in Ford, Volvo, and Mercedes fell on Thursday by 4.5%, 4%, and 2.5%, respectively. All right, so we have Nancy Pelosi, and this is the beautiful thing of the internet now. You don't have to go back like you used to maybe in the day and go on, you know, websites or however you would track down old commentary. I think it was probably relegated to those that had access working at a TV production studio. We have receipts of Nancy Pelosi in 1996, as well as Bernie Sanders in 2008. And surprise, surprise, they had a different tune on tariffs. Greg Stocker, let's play one of these if we could.
Nancy Pelosi, roll.
Nancy Pelosi.
How far does China have to go
Wow, look at
how
Nancy
much
Pelosi.
More repression.
Can we pause that real quick?
Not
actually?
Bad, right?
Nancy Pelosi actually looks like Marsha Clark in 1996.
Well, I mean, look, that was the look in 1996.
Yes,
come on. Short hair and the
shoulder pads.
Hey,
which
by the way,
coming back.
Yes, I was just thank you, Anna. Yeah, shoulder pads coming back.
Are they really?
Yeah, horrible trend
for women.
I think the wider your shoulders are, the smaller your waist looks in comparison. I think that's the logic behind it. Okay. I think it looks ridiculous. But
all right, so here's Pelosi at 96. I think this was her 47th year in office.
I was going to say Nancy Pelosi has my haircut.
Here we go.
Roll it.
Big a trade deficit and loss of jobs for the American worker, and how much more dangerous proliferation has to exist before members of this House of Representatives will say, I will not endorse the status quo. As I mentioned, it's about jobs, proliferation, and human rights. And there are those who say we shouldn't link human rights and trade and proliferation and trade. I disagree. But if we just want to take up this issue on the basis of economics alone, indeed, China should not receive most favored nation status.
Wow. Mm. Look at you.
Oh, very interesting, Nance. 1996. Well, that was 29 years ago. So Trump says it, and he's going to tank the economy. Never mind you the fact that he implemented tariffs in 17, 18, and 19, and our economy was just fine. And, of course, Bernie Sanders, you know, one of these guys who's like a chameleon, he'll pivot and slide around no matter what he has to do to stay relevant, even though he hates capitalism and charges $95 for a book. Let's hear what Bernie had to say in 2008 about tariffs in the United States.
Further, what they have said
he sounds the same.
Is that we need
he looks the same.
That's terrible.
Bernie hasn't aged.
No.
He hasn't aged in 20 years.
What's worse is that he looked 80 when he was like 50.
And now he looks 70 when he's 100.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. All right, continue this.
Not worry about manufacturing in America, because what we should establish is a policy of unfettered free trade.
Fetted.
We don't need tariffs. What we need is to allow corporate America the freedom to throw American workers out on the street. People who are making 15, 20, 25 bucks an hour, health care, pensions. Throw them out on the street, because somehow, Madam President, we are going to create wealth in America and good paying jobs in America as we shut down plants. We move to China. Corporations there pay workers 20, 30 cents an hour, and we bring the product back into this country.
What?
And anyone who goes shopping in a mall knows how difficult it is today to find the product made in America. But that is the philosophy. And I have to say, in that regard, the champion, and he is honest on this one, Senator McCain has been criticized recently for not being the most honest candidate we have seen in terms of his ads and so forth. He has been honest on this one. He is the lead advocate of unfettered free trade.
Fettered.
And that's an awesome.
There's Bernie from 2000.
I like Bernie Sanders.
You like base Bernie.
Yeah.
Does that come with a megaphone or no?
No.
So if you think about it, you throw in those clips of Pelosi, Bernie, there's another one of Schumer we played before.
We have the one of Schumer from 96.
Okay, we've got Schumer. Then we'll play that in 1 second. Obama, I gave you yesterday from 2011. Basically wanted to create a doge, never did. Hillary from 25, 30 years ago. Illegals, here, deport them. No questions asked. What is so radical about what Trump is doing?
By the way, Bryn Mawr Builders on the YouTube chat says, playing clips from 30 years ago, we're doing a Remember When segment. No, this is relevant to what we're talking about now.
With tariffs.
Because they're saying the same thing that Trump is saying now, 30 years ago.
Yes.
It's not a Remember When. We're not saying, oh, remember these days. No, we're showing receipts.
Yes.
Because these people are hypocritical a-holes.
And look, I totally get it if somebody flips political parties in their lifetime or changes or evolves or educates themselves. Younger people historically in this country, the older they get, they skew more conservative. I am that personifies me to the umpteenth degree.
I can't even imagine you as like a hippie liberal.
No, I was never. I was never a hippie liberal. I voted Democrat once in my life. I voted Obama in 08 when I was 24. I grew up in a family that was very apolitical. If I had to qualify or classify my parents,
I would say they were maybe moderate Democrats. I've said this on the show before, Anna. If my parents were still alive today, my mom would have voted Hillary. My dad would have voted Trump. No questions asked, hands down. And it's just you start to educate yourself more and you go a certain direction. But these people with the pivots, and I have no, and honest to God, I don't really care that Bernie's pivoted or Hillary's pivoted or any Democrat has flip-flopped or anything like that. Just don't tell me that Trump is Hitler when his platform is half Ronald Reagan, American exceptionalism of the 80s, and then old school classic Democrats of the 90s and 2000s. Nobody was calling Hillary Hitler in 2004, unless I missed those talking points, which I don't think I did, right?
No. Chuck Schumer explains the number one reason illegals come to the U.S. is so they can defraud programs like Social Security. sounds like Doge to me.
Very Doge.
Very Doge. Roll it.
Thank the gentleman. Salute him for his work on this. Rise in support of the amendment. First of all, Social Security card is used from one end of America to the other as an identification card right now. Who are we kidding?
Can we go back to 1996?
Yes, please.
It shouldn't be. I would ask the chairman and the distinguished minority member of the Social Security committee to pass that law. But let's admit the truth. Everywhere people go, they're asked for a Social Security card. In fact, one way to prove you're a bona fide person who can have a job is to ask for a driver's license and a Social Security card. This is an anti-fraud amendment. All over where we go, people say, well, why can't you stop illegal immigrants or others
from
coming
that.
Here? And the number one answer we give our constituents is when they come here, they can get jobs, get benefits against the law because of fraud.
Mm.
And here, the gentleman from Florida has put together the most effective anti-fraud measure we can find without it changing the actions of the government one bit.
Wow.
And we find all this opposition.
Hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen of this chamber, what I worry about is that this bill, which started out with good intentions, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, is going to end up being the same kind of thing that the public gets angry with us on. We say we're doing something, and we do nothing. Because every time someone makes a rational and small proposal to get something done, people say, well, what about this hypothetical, that hypothetical, etc. I urge support of this amendment. If you believe you want to stop fraud in immigration, you have no choice but to support this amendment.
Gentlemen's time. That was when Chuck Schumer knew how to grill a cheeseburger.
Turns out we're just 1996 Democrats.
It's unbelievable.
I'm a conservative, but I'm need to tell people that. I'm like, I'm just a 1996 Democrat.
I'm just a 90s Dem these days. Yeah, it's really amazing. I would love to go back. You talk about going back to that time. Give me, I'm going to get real nostalgic here. Give me 80s and 90s sports. Give me 80s music. And give me 90s television.
80s music now.
Oh, I don't like it.
Yeah. You don't like
80s
that?
Music? Maybe it's just me. I feel like I'm the anomaly. I feel like the 80s was not a great time for
me. I mean, there's some good hair metal.
Yeah.
Some good heavy metal.
I mean,
metal,
I like they had Michael Jackson, Prince, maybe a few Madonna songs, Billy Joel, and then I think that's where my 80s is like. But
you cut it off right there.
Yeah. 90s music, I think, was better. But
90s music,
Yeah, your grunge.
Yeah, 90s music was way better. Road Warrior asks, wasn't that the welfare bill that they were speaking of? Yes, I believe it was. So we've come full circle.
Yeah.
Now the Republicans, MAGA is just 90s Democrats. So.
I should
advertise that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still founded in some conservative principles and values. And that's why I always push back when people tell me, oh, Trump's not a real conservative. It's all an act. I'm like, I don't think Trump claims to be a conservative. He's a populist. He's like he's like Malay in Argentina. He's like Le Poilier up in Canada. He's not a Bush Republican. Most people that pay attention to politics are aware of that. Those that are oblivious and still think it's 1996, Trump's no conservative. My mother-in-law. My mother-in-law has no idea that the parties have realigned. She gives me the same Republican talking points as a Democrat that you used for the Bushes.
Yeah.
They're war criminals. Yeah. I'm like, lady, you're
by the way, the Bushes were war criminals.
There's no question.
Oh my God.
No question. And Anna's reading about that, right?
I'm reading a 500-page book on the Bush dynasty and their involvement in intelligence since like before World War II.
Wow.
So yeah.
That's what you do in your free time?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That and
last
jiu-jitsu.
Night I was like falling asleep to a documentary about the Franklin scandal. Do you know what that is?
No. You're a party girl.
Yeah. It's essentially the same thing as like the Epstein sex trafficking ring with children,
yeah,
but in Omaha, Nebraska. Oh, anyways.
So you read 500 page books on the bushes to go to bed and I pour a Tito's double.
I can't wait until you come to Philly next week.
I'm excited for it.
It's going to be a fun week. All right, we have to break.
All right, Kale and Company will come back. Update on the teacher-student illegal sex scandal that we gave you yesterday in the cut sheet. It's actually far worse than we thought.
Oh, boy.
Stay right there.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
New details emerging, Anna and Greg, with our story yesterday of the teacher that we played for you in the cut sheet where the police pulled into her driveway, took her out of her SUV, husband's in the passenger seat. They couldn't tell her what the charges were. They handcuffed her, put her in the back of the seat. And for those that don't recall, this is the 30-year-old teacher in Illinois who's married. Her name is Christina Formella, special ed teacher accused of molesting a 15-year-old student. If you recall, they were exchanging salacious and flirtatious messages. According to court documents, though, apparently this was going on for quite some time. So Downer Grove High School teacher Christina Formella, who is the alleged victim's soccer coach, started tutoring the boy in private sessions after he broke his collarbone. Documents obtained by TMZ showed she started then sending him flirtatious messages on a school messaging platform.
Oh, boy.
Probably not smart. Even Mike Waltz thought that was irresponsible. And after giving him her phone number, they could play games together via text messages, which then morphed into salacious text messages. The pair allegedly FaceTimed each other as they began developing feelings for one another until one morning in December 2023, she sexually assaulted him in a classroom before school. The then 28-year-old teacher shut the door behind them, according to prosecutors, and they began to undress each other before having sex. Now, the teacher is claiming that she is the victim and she's being targeted for, quote, being good looking. She claims that one day the boy had grabbed her phone unattended, had entered her passcode, and had sent the messages to his phone.
Yes.
And then had then deleted the message from her phone and saved it to his phone as blackmail. 15-year-old blackmailing 30-year-old teacher. Are you buying it, Anna?
Not really. Is the student 15 now? Does that mean that he was like 13 when it started?
That's a great question.
I think he was 15 at the time. She was 28. He is now presumably 17 and she is 30.
Do you think that it's somehow like a mitigating detail, the fact that she's good looking? If we're being honest, like we would be more grossed out. We're like, oh, this ogre. Like this criminal had sex with this. Because you know how, you know, I guess guys talk about how like, oh, you know, I had this hot teacher when I was in school.
Yeah,
and
the
kind of like hot teacher fantasy. Like this kid got to live it.
Right.
You know.
He got to live it, right? I don't envy
him. Right. So is he really the victim? I mean, obviously, I'm joking. But do you feel like you have like a little more sympathy for the situation because the teacher is attractive?
And because of the gender reversal here. If this was a 30-year-old dude and a 14 or 15-year-old.
Yeah, castration, jail forever.
Nick and I would be like, we'd be like, fire him.
Yes.
But yes, it's not right because, you know what, like, rape is rape and, like, you know, 30-year-old should know better, obviously.
Not to blast their students.
She has some issues, if all of this is true. And again, we don't know if all of this is true. We're just taking from the news report. But,
sure. But I think the biggest victim here is her husband.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like the kid's going to be okay. Like, I don't think he's going to be too traumatized this, if I'm being honest.
No.
But the husband, I mean, that's ego shattering.
I hope they don't have kids together.
I don't think they do.
Thank God.
They were recently married, I believe. Right. I believe they were recently married.
And soon to be recently divorced.
And I was just going to say, he's questioning his manhood.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about it. It's not just a reality.
reaction among citizens to this based on the gender and who's in control and who's the one being, quote, molested. There's actually different statutory rape conviction sentences for male versus female teachers that do this. And I'm looking at this story from News 4 Jacksonville. Now, this is 9 years ago, but the headline is, many serve little jail time for having sex with students. If the student was willing and was not raped, the typical sentence is less than 5 years.
And again, it depends on the gender. It depends on the sex of the situation, like meaning, you know, gender, that you would get a harsher sentence, I believe, if it was a male teacher and a female student.
Can she ever teach again, or is she now officially, is that career dead?
She's done.
Yeah,
I would assume so.
She's going to be
she can't teach from jail.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's going to be stripping at tattletales.
Jesus. On that note, 855-839-1210. We'll come back, get to some news from On in the Kickoff Hour number two, and then remember the viral story of Baby the Deer. We've got an update, and we've got some confusing and conflicting details. What's the true story? Stick around and find out.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.